This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Will the sequester be avoided?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Thursday, February 28th, and we're just a day away from the sequester, those $85 billion in automatic spending cuts that were born during the debt ceiling debacle back in 2011. Now, it's hard to find an economist who thinks the cuts are good policy, but it doesn't seem like they'll be averted in time. Charles Grassley is a Republican senator from Iowa, and he is with us now from Washington. Good morning.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Well, so, Senator, do you think that this sequester is a done deal, or is there any chance that it would be avoided?
It's a done deal for a short period of time, possibly a long period of time, but there's no way that there's going to be a bill to the president for signature before March the 1st. So then you do go into sequester. I don't think there's going to be any immediate impact from the sequester. But now it's going to bring people to the table. So when I said to you it may be a short period of time that it's in place, people will seriously negotiate now.
But you're saying it's going to be retroactively undone, you think?
Well, it's pretty difficult for me to predict that. If I had to say what I know right now, I can't say that. But strategy and the way Congress operates, and considering the fact that most people don't believe these automatic across-the-board reductions are the best way to do business. Common sense dictates it brings people to the table and you work out something. But if it doesn't get worked out, then this is going to be the policy through September the 30th.
Well, this is obviously not the first time we've had one of these last-minute situations in Washington fiscal deadlines. Do you think that this is going to be the one that convinces you and your colleagues and everybody there, the policymakers in Washington, not to do things like this, to think ahead, to do things in advance and give people some certainty?
No, I think the word certainty is very important, and the more certainty we can bring to the economy is the best way to get jobs created and get out of this mess. To be perfectly candid with you, I think legislative bodies, not just the Congress, tend to function under deadlines. But you also got to remember that the Congress is not the player, the only player here. The President of the United States suggested this during the summer of 2011 because he didn't want to have any votes on increasing the debt limit prior to the election. Now it looks like the president is showing the leadership that he should have shown over the last 18 months, because the day that the sequester goes into effect, he's going to have leaders down to the White House, leaders that he hasn't talked to since January the 1st.
Let me look past this deadline and to the next one and ask you, do you think that there's a chance that the government will be shut down at the end of next month?
Absolutely not, because we learned a lesson in 1995 that you don't save any money by shutting down the government. I think that continuing resolutions will be passed to fund the government at the same level last 6 months of 2013 that we've had for the first 6 months since October the 1st, 2012, when the fiscal year started. I think it's pretty common sense. If government can function for 6 months under X number of dollars, they can fill out the rest of the year on those same X number of dollars.
Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Well, JCPenney's stock is down 20% in early trading today. The retailer said last night that it lost $500 million last quarter. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
When Ron Johnson became JCPenney's CEO, he crunched the numbers. Jean-Pierre Dubé teaches marketing at the University of Chicago.
And his argument was, this is ridiculous. People are just coming for deals. What JCPenney needs to do is offer value.
So Johnson invested in new merchandise and built specialty boutiques and JCPenney stores. He also got rid of two things JCPenney was known for, sales and coupons. That backfired, and last summer he brought some of them back. Ken Homa is a marketing professor at Georgetown. He says the retailer has sent some mixed messages.
I think that consumers out there just have no idea what to think about JCPenney at this time.
CEO Ron Johnson defended himself yesterday.
I told you transformations are unpredictable and can be bumpy, and this one has been.
When he started, Johnson predicted there'd be profits in a matter of months. Yesterday, he said JCPenney's transformation will take years. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said today he wants to bring some of the country's nuclear plants back online. That reverses a decision to phase out nuclear following the Fukushima disaster. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes joins us from Tokyo with the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so why does Prime Minister Abe want to bring these nuclear plants back online?
Well, certainly according to his speech today in Parliament, it's because Japan needs energy security. It doesn't have any resources of its own, doesn't have any oil or coal or natural gas. So, you know, nuclear has always been the option that gives Japan its own energy security. And the other is cost. Japan is now importing huge volumes of natural gas and oil and other fossil fuels from around the world. And that's put up its import bill, and Japan is now running a massive trade deficit for the first time in post-war history.
Well, obviously, it was a very popular decision following the Fukushima disaster to shut down the nuclear plants. So is there opposition to restarting some of them?
There is massive opposition to restarting them. And I think Mr. Abe's speech essentially was saying we're going to try and do this, but there were lots of ifs and buts. I am somewhat skeptical that he's ever going to get them all back online, because the bar is being set much, much higher for them to be reopened. There's a whole new set of regulations coming out this summer. The nuclear power industry is going to have to do lots of modifications to these plants to be allowed to reopen them. So, you know, some saying the bill may be $11 billion just to get these plants back online. So whether it will really ever happen, we'll have to wait and see.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
And finally, to a new study from a university in Germany that finds pessimists live longer. The study says people with low expectations and fear for the future end up leading healthier lives. So next time you toast to your health, make sure that glass is half empty. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.